You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We had some takes yesterday. Welcome to NFL Live. Happy Friday. The news of that blockbuster trade sending Carson Wentz to the Colts broke just over 24 hours ago. There's so many angles you need to know about why someone on the show says Wentz's 2017 success could be fool's gold. Plus, a new team for Sam Darnold that makes more sense than you might think. Mina Kimes will join us in a little bit. We've got Ryan Clark and Phil Yates here with you, and we'll be here with you for this entire hour. We begin with Carson Wentz, who arrives in Indy today. You can see him there pulling up in the plane. We got like the paparazzi video here as you see him getting out of the plane, headed to his new team. He wanted to get out of Philly. He got out, and now he reunites with Frank Reich. Reich and Wentz were magical together. So can they continue that? That's the big question. Can they create that magic again? And if you're thinking it's the same Colts offense of 2020 minus Phillip Rivers, that's not entirely true. Half of their top eight players in terms of touches last season are set to hit free agency, including leading wide receivers T.Y. Hilton and Zach Pascal. But the good news for the Colts, they're currently holding the league's second most cap space, still have their first and second round picks in this upcoming draft. So let's start with Ryan Clark here. We heard, you know, some of these big time takes. Dan Orlovsky thinks that this could be an MVP caliber season for Carson Wentz in this Colts offense. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that when you think about how this will actually look and how it'll actually work in Indy?
Well, the first thing is we have to forgive Dan, right? He's been on the rock and roller coaster. He's been on the Tower of Terror. I mean, he's down there eating Rice Krispie treats with the Mickey ears, and they're red and they're blue. So he has a lot of stuff going on right now. He really, truly can't focus on what's going on in the real world, which is Carson Wentz doesn't have to be the MVP. You don't want him to try to be the MVP. You're not looking for 2017 Carson Wentz. What you're hoping is, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, that you have so much that could surround him. You can get back some of the skilled players on the outside. Obviously, you have Michael Pittman Jr. start to ascend late in the season. You have a great running game, a good offensive line, a very good top 10 defense. And you say, you know what, Carson? We're going to bring your floor up, right? We're not going to let you see those lows that you saw in Philly. But what we need from you is, in critical moment, in situational football-type times, we need you to make big plays. We need to see some of that scramble, get out of the pocket, and push the ball down the field. You can't miss the wide-open receiver like we did with Phillip Rivers last year. And every now and then, you got to elevate us. Because that's what the Indianapolis Colts have been looking for since they lost Andrew Luck. When they ran out of luck, they tried other quarterbacks, the Brissettes. They've tried Phillip Rivers, and now they're looking to find luck in Carson Wentz. And if they do that, this is a team that could contend for the Super Bowl in the AFC.
Yeah, in case you missed all the references there, Dan Orlovsky is at Disney World right now, or at least in that area. Check his Twitter for a rebuttal to everything that we're saying about him. Field, when you looked at all the options for the Colts for a quarterback, because they needed one, right, with Phillip Rivers announcing his retirement, they didn't have a whole lot of options, right? So is that a lot of how this came to fruition?
No question, Laura. And to your point, it's not just that there weren't a lot of options. It's that there weren't a lot of options for quarterbacks that made sense for the Colts right now. This roster, as we saw last year, is largely ready to compete for the AFC South again next year and the playoffs again next season. Do you want to look your locker room in the eye going into the 2021 season, where you have so many quality pieces and potentially have an unproven player like your fourth round pick, Jacob Eason, last year as your starter, or potentially a quarterback that's going to be available in free agent this offseason that might be a retread, a Mitch Trubisky, potentially Marcus Mariota, Ryan Fitzpatrick? The answer is probably not. Now, I get it. Carson Wentz played inferior to some of the names that I just mentioned last year. But we began the show by highlighting the connection between he, Carson Wentz, and Frank Reich in that magical 2017 season. And I'm glad that RC mentioned that there's a middle ground between being 2017 mm-hmm. Carson Wentz and being what he was last year. The Colts can get that out of Carson Wentz, and that's good enough to keep this team competitive going into the playoffs next year.
Yeah, let's bring in Mina Kimes here, who's joining us now. We're so glad to have you. Mina, let's talk about that 2017 season, because I think that's what everyone keeps keying in on, right? That's the magic with Frank Reich and Carson Wentz. Yeah. Is that achievable again in your mind?
I don't think so, Laura. I mean, Carson Wentz, to me, he's a little like the show True Detective. It's probably never going to hit the peak of what it was early on, in large part because what he did that 2017 season was unsustainable. He was incredibly good on third down that year, the best in the NFL by a massive margin, but he has not repeated that success on third down since then, and he wasn't as good on other downs. And my colleague Bill Barnwell has written a great deal about how when you look at quarterback performance over the years, if you have that sort of outlier performance on third down, it tends to regress to the mean. I think it's far more likely that we see 2018 or 2019 Wentz. And like Field said, I understand why that might have been the best option for the Colts. But realistically, 2018 or 2019 Carson Wentz isn't that much better than 2020 Phillip Rivers. So even if Indianapolis treads water and their defense still looks good, obviously they've got good coaches and a good offensive line, are they better than they were last season when they ended up losing the wild card round? I'm not so sure, no matter what kind of, even though we're probably going to get some improvement from Wentz.
Listen, I know we're talking about 2020 Phillip Rivers, but if we're going to compare that to Carson Wentz, we have to look at 2019 Phillip Rivers, who had 20 interceptions, who was a guy that had been the franchise piece to the Chargers, and it was time for them to move on. And you get Phillip Rivers, and you think maybe the Jacksonville game early on in the season, he has two interceptions. Later on in the season, the Cleveland game in some bad weather, he throws some picks as well. Those are the games that Phillip Rivers lost. But for the most part, he kept his team afloat and he kept them in the game because he stopped the turnovers, and that was because who he was playing with. Listen, I'm not asking him to give me Matthew McConaughey and to give me Woody Harrelson. What I'm asking you is to not give me Vince Vaughn, and that will be a season I can deal with.
You know, I may be the only one. I think Vince Vaughn is really funny, but I think I'm also a dweeb, so that's probably
too,
a big
Laura.
Reason why. Oh, Field agrees with me. Awesome. All right, we got so much more coming your way.
He was
on
bad
NFL
and True Detective.
I'm dead. We don't know what the Steelers' offense will look like exactly next season, but drum roll, please. We got a scatter plot here. This shows their offense in 2020. Perhaps it's a sign of inevitable change in Pittsburgh. They couldn't get it done through the air or on the ground. As you see here, they're a major outlier among the 2020 playoff field. This offense gained 10 or more yards on just 17% of their plays, the second lowest rate ahead of only the Jets. So, RC, you're a former Steeler. You know all the key players in this, right? What did you make of Kevin Colbert's comments on Ben this week? Not exactly an endorsement necessarily of his future there in Pittsburgh.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Listen, Kev is a real dude. Like, man, a football guy. He's not one of these dudes that wants to be on TV and wants to be blasted on NFL Live and wants to have quotables. He's talking real life and real football. Also, he said that Ben talked to Mike. He talked to Art. He talked to Kev. He made sure that he knew what the situation was before it ever went public. Now, he's in a hard situation, in a hard spot, because Ben basically held up a sign that said, "We'll work for the Steelers for free." But he said it at the end of that talk, or the end of that media session. We want to do what's best for the Steelers, the organization, and then for Ben. But the organization comes first. And I think he realizes you can't win a Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger right now. And listen, I was on the phone with TP, with Troy Polamalu, when he was going through things and when he was eventually released. And I was thinking to myself, if they can do it to him, the best Steeler I've ever played with, the best player I've ever been on a team with, if they can do it to him, if he can be released, then anybody could go. And Ben Roethlisberger is no different.
God, I wish I could do that kind of flex on air and just say I was on the phone with TP. Ryan Clark, you're so cool. All right. I was thinking about this because earlier today I was thinking, well, the Steelers are in a really tough spot. They're capped out. They don't have a lot of options at quarterback. Maybe they can just restructure Ben and begin the transition. But then I put my mindset or I tried to think about what it would be like as a Steelers fan watching next season. Because the reality is, if Ben Roethlisberger is the quarterback, what you saw at the end of last year and in the playoffs, that's what it's going to look like. It's probably going to be worse, frankly, because that arm isn't getting any better. And the more I thought about that, regardless of whether or not you think this team is a Super Bowl team without him, that's not watchable football. That's not good for the organization. Mm. It's not about transition or managing the transition. It's about ripping the Band-Aid, taking that $22 million cap hit and finding a quarterback now. I would say take a gamble on trading for Darnold. Trade up in the draft. Do what you got to do because Mason Rudolph ain't it. But you got to come up with some sort of solution now or at least experiment, because I'll tell you, what you do know is that Ben Roethlisberger isn't the quarterback that's going to take you to the Super Bowl next season.
And that's the hard thing, right? Coach Tomlin always talks about his emotional bank account. That's what this decision is about. Coach Tomlin was like, there's certain people that can do certain things because they've deposited enough in my emotional bank account. Where no player on this team or in this organization has done that more than Ben Roethlisberger for Coach Tomlin or more than Ben Roethlisberger for Kevin Colbert. If this was another quarterback, this is an easy decision. You say, you know what? We're going to cut our losses and move ahead with a different quarterback, with a different plan. You know you cannot win a Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger, but you also know you can't win it with the rest of the people that are now on this roster. And so what they have to figure out is, how do we move forward to the next chapter in the best way that's good for our organization and good for our fans?
Guys, quickly, we all agree that Sam Darnold would be an upgrade. I'm not asking you to say significant upgrade over Ben Roethlisberger, but we think that would be an upgrade for sure.
I think you can see the possibility of an upgrade. Yeah, a live. I mean, Ryan, that's it. He's got it. He can throw the ball 35 yards, Laura. I mean, he's got that going for him.
Yeah, that's an improvement right there in and of itself. Okay, one of the people that they hope to throw the ball to in Pittsburgh, Juju Smith-Schuster, he could be one of the most sought-after free agents receivers, though, this offseason. He'll have some company. Check out some of these pass catchers that could hit the open market. Will Fuller, Chris Godwin, Kenny Golladay, Allen Robinson, just to name a few. But first, more on Robinson, who said yesterday, quote, I'm not opposed to being back in Chicago by any means. Didn't say I want to be back in Chicago. But despite a struggling Bears offense last season, Allen Robinson still had 1,250 receiving yards, the second most in his career. He was responsible for 32% of Chicago's receiving yards, the fifth highest rate last season, behind only D-Hop, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, and Davante Adams. And even with the success, could it be time for Robinson to move on? The Bears and Jaguars have combined to post a 35-53 record in games he plays in. So, Ryan, I'm told this topic of Allen Robinson's kind of a little bit of a sore subject for you and Bears fans. So just tell the people out there exactly why that is.
Well, you know, Laura, here I was just doing my job, trying to work my way toward an extension in the offseason. And I'm on Bears local radio. And they ask me, you know what I'm saying? They ask me a question about a very good receiver who was Odell Beckham at the time. And I was like, yeah, Chicago needs a number one. Now, listen, when I'm thinking number ones, I'm thinking DeAndre Hopkins, Tay Adams, Julio Jones, right? I was like, they don't really have one. So the Bears fans flood me, and you know they tagged Allen Robinson in it too, like he was going to beat me up if he found out I said he wasn't a number one. And so I'm not going to lie. I started watching him more, and I started watching it more closely because I was like, I kind of need dude to not be a number one so I don't seem stupid, but he truly is. Listen, when you watch him get off the line of scrimmage and you see what he can do on 50-50 balls, you realize how he's been so successful playing with terrible quarterbacks. He creates enough space for him. Yeah. He's not one of these dudes like Stephon Diggs or Tay Diggs who needs a lot of room or who makes a lot of room to catch catch the football, but he is a bad quarterback's best friend. Do you know why he's a bad quarterback's best friend? Because all of his best friends on team have been bad quarterbacks. When you look at some of these plays that he's made, especially in Chicago, knowing he was the number one option, being trailed and followed by the number one corners on many teams, this dude is constantly productive. And this is what we said about D-Hop. It didn't he was going to show up. Allen Robinson is in that conversation, and he needs to be compensated as such.
I love this. I feel the exact same way, so much so that when I would watch the Bears last year, or really last 2 years, I wish I could just grab Matt Nagy and say, just call a 50-50 ball to Allen Robinson, because I guarantee you that is better than anything else that you're going to come up with for Mitch Trubisky. And most of the time he caught it. Ryan, you mentioned D-Hop, and I think about a conversation I had with Hopkins when he got Watson, where he was telling me or how grateful he was when he got Deshaun Watson. He almost got emotional thinking about what he went through in terms of the quarterbacks he played as a wide receiver. I want that for Allen Robinson, and I know he chose Chicago over Green Bay. There's Packers fans right now screaming that. I get it. He made a bad call. But at this point in his career, I don't want him to go down that Andre Johnson path where he doesn't get to play with an elite quarterback or even a really good quarterback, because he is too good and he is a true number one wide receiver.
Yeah, Mina, to your point, Robinson was the only receiver with at least 100 receptions and no drops last season. I also like it on this show when we make people eat crow. So, Ryan Clark, you had to eat some of that crow about Allen Robinson there. Back here on NFL Live, Phil Yates predicted the starting quarterback for all 32 teams in a piece on ESPN.com this week. Check it out. His first prediction already came true with Carson Wentz being traded to the Colts yesterday. But, Phil, one thing I noticed when reading the article, you have three rookie QBs getting starting jobs. Who are they?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, Laura, I decided to be really audacious and peg Trevor Lawrence to the Jacksonville Jaguars with the number one overall pick in this year's draft. I know. A little bit takey right there. But, yeah, I've worked hard to try to find a blemish on Trevor Lawrence's resume. It's very difficult to find one. Outstanding accuracy, moves well in the pocket, creative outside of the pocket, an outstanding runner, great leadership. He checks every box that you could look for in a quarterback. He'll be the number one overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. The draft really begins at pick two, which is why I have Zach Wilson going to the New York Jets. This guy is so creative. He's a playmaking quarterback. He's an outstanding athlete, not afraid to throw the football down the field, and does so with a quick trigger as well. A little bit slight. He's going to fill that frame out a little bit, but this is a player who was exciting every time he had the football in his hands. And then finally, we know Deshaun Watson is the trade we're all waiting for. Well, I anticipate eventually be traded, which would mean the Texans need a new quarterback. I gave them Justin Fields in this scenario out of Ohio State. So patient in the pocket. He is an absolute bulldozer as a runner. Incredible arm strength. Very good leader and tough as all get out, as we learned during the college football playoff. Took some huge hits early against Clemson and just kept on producing. Love Justin Fields as a prospect.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Hey, Todd McShay released his new rankings today with Trevor Lawrence still locked in at that number one spot. Keep an eye on Zach Wilson. McShay still lists him as the number two quarterback, but he continues to move up in his overall rankings, going from 15th ranked overall prospect to the eighth and then now to the fifth. Rounding out McShay's top five, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. For more, let's bring in ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller, making his debut on the show. We're so glad to have you, Matt. And Justin Fields is going to be a first-round draft pick, right? But are people underestimating what he can actually do at the next level?
Yeah, Laura, I think so. And I'm looking around wondering why we're all overlooking Justin Fields. Did we not learn anything last year from Justin Herbert, who is the third quarterback drafted, and he broke all kinds of records in his rookie year? And when I watch Justin Fields, I'm looking at a player who did it for 2 years in the Big Ten, not out in the Mountain West, and being able to make all the throws down the field. He's 6'3", 225. He's a great athlete. He has a big arm. And much like Justin Herbert last year, when I watch Justin Fields, sure, there's some things at Ohio State he wasn't asked to do. It doesn't mean he can't do them. Let's unlock the potential a little bit, unlock the talent. I love all the quarterbacks in this class, but I've seen it with Justin Fields and the ability. Like Fields said, the toughness in that Clemson game, that's a big box that you got to check right there. The arm talent, look at this play. Just dropping it over the top. The trust of his receivers was exceptional. I think Justin Fields is being forgotten about right now by those of us in the media, maybe. But I think NFL teams are going to be pushing him up the board as we get closer to that April draft.
Yeah, Matt, the first time I ever saw Fields throw in a game, it was actually a Georgia game against UMass. And he threw the ball, and I was like, that's one of the prettiest passes I've seen anybody throw. That can't be overlooked either. I think if you ask the average sports fan, they would all tell you that Trevor Lawrence is the number one overall pick. But is that how front offices around the league are looking at him?
Yeah, I think right now, yes, Trevor Lawrence will be the first pick, right? The Jaguars know what they're doing, but there's at least a discussion about Zach Wilson, like you saw on Todd's board, as maybe he is the best quarterback in this class. I don't personally have it that way, but NFL evaluators are starting to push back against the consensus that Trevor Lawrence is just the sure thing number one quarterback. I've talked to four or five teams at this point who actually have Zach Wilson as the top quarterback in this draft, and they cite the arm talent, the ability to make throws down the field, what he does off platform as an athlete. The name Patrick Mahomes gets brought up every time you talk to people in the NFL about Zach Wilson. That's Mahomes to Travis Kelce right there at the goal line, guys. We've seen this play before. Does that look familiar to you? Because it looked really familiar to me. Now, he is a little bit smaller, but the arm talent is there, the crazy plays, and this is against Coastal Carolina, the best team he played last year. He's just going to run around, fling the ball all over down the field. He does have the arm talent to push it down there. And again, it is very Mahomes-like. You don't ever want to compare anyone to Patrick Mahomes, who is the greatest quarterback on planet Earth, but you see some similarities to their game. I think that's why people are getting really excited about Zach Wilson.
Yeah, you know, when you think about Trevor Lawrence and that number one overall pick, it is important to point out that Urban Meyer himself, of course, new coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, actually wanted him to have a pro day before he had his surgery just to see him throw in person and all that jazz. Thanks so much, Matt. You're joining us a little bit later as well. But let's get everybody else's feelings on this. Ryan, you just heard what Matt had to say about Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. What do you make of all that?
You know what? Anytime anybody says anything about Trevor Lawrence, you're just dead wrong. Like, I can't believe you're talking about the golden boy like that. No one's saying that Trevor Lawrence can't play or that Jacksonville Jaguars shouldn't take him first. But remember, we fell in love with him, right? When he was introduced to us, he was dressed up nicely. He looked all pretty because we watched him blow out Alabama. And we expected that dominance to continue, but it didn't continue in the big games. We didn't continue to see that ascension or that dominant play from Trevor Lawrence that told us that every year he was the best football player in the country. And that's not to say that he can't be a great pro, but for me, the can't miss, the future Hall of Famer, all of these superlatives and the hyperbole that surrounds Trevor Lawrence, I don't necessarily agree with it. Now, I'm not saying that he won't be a good football player or a very good quarterback in the league. I believe that his floor is the highest floor of all of these quarterbacks. But when you start to watch Trevor Lawrence and you pick it apart, you're going to notice that it's a lot of Wake Forest, a lot of NC State, and a lot of Syracuse. So when you look at that competition, you got to say, what did it look like against LSU? What did it look like against Ohio State? And it was a little different against those teams.
I mean, he shredded Notre Dame this year, Ryan. Like, we were just playing all those
Wilson
highlights, and they're cool.
His backup had 460.
Let me finish.
His backup had 460 against Notre Dame. His backup had 460.
Go, so, Mina.
I wanted to address Zach Wilson a second, because apparently now it's Zach Wilson versus Trevor Lawrence, not Zach Wilson versus Justin Fields, which is blowing my mind. I like Zach Wilson. He has a psycho arm, right? Like, he has those Mahomesian traits, the off-platform throws. But he was doing it against, like, Santa Monica Valley State. I went back and watched Coastal Carolina and Houston, and the highlights are cool. But he does not have Trevor Lawrence's resume. And when I watch Lawrence, yes, I realize he came out with a bang and maybe his career wasn't as dominant from start to finish as you might think. But he has the athleticism, the arm, the processing. I mean,
the tools, it's all there. I just feel like if we're really going to do this and we're going to debate whether or not I should be number one pick between now and the draft, we are overthinking it. It happens every year, but we should not overthink this one. He is the number one pick, and it would be bonkers to me if he's not.
Yeah, no, I think, Mina, like, you're arguing the wrong point. Like, nobody's saying that it's going to be bonkers if Trevor Lawrence doesn't go first. I expect him to go first. I think a team should pick him first. You know why? It's safer for your job. If you pick Trevor Lawrence and Trevor Lawrence doesn't hit, you know what everybody's going to say? We all thought he should have went first anyway. But the conversation of Zach Wilson moving up is very interesting. And I'm also will be remiss if I don't say this. I am a huge Justin Fields fan. I think if you like Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott, if he was faster, if he was stronger, and his arm was stronger, that's who Justin Fields is. And so when we look at some of these guys like Zach Wilson and Justin Fields, I don't think the separation between Trevor Lawrence and the rest of the crowd is as vast as everybody says it is. And it's okay for me to think that. You can do both things. You can pick him first, and he cannot be a first ballot Hall of Famer to date.
Yeah, and remember, Field Yates actually had Justin Fields going to the Houston Texans, which is also really interesting if you think about potential destinations for all of these guys. Let's dive back into Field Yates' 2021 quarterback predictions. How about the question everyone wants to know right now? Where will Deshaun Watson be playing next season? Field actually thinks it'll be with the Carolina Panthers. Field, why do you think Panthers and Watson make sense? Because it's very intriguing to me.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, Laura, let's start with why Carolina might be a desirable place if Houston has to trade Deshaun Watson. First of all, you want to get him as far away from your division as you can. You only play the Panthers once every 4 years. You're not going to be constantly reminded of his greatness as you would be if you traded them either in the division, that never happens, or at least in the conference. Beyond that, the Jets and the Dolphins might have the best draft ammo to make an offer for Deshaun Watson, but if they decide to go in a different direction, which to me seems plausible if not likely, the Panthers have the 8th overall pick. This is a team that lost 8 games by 7 or fewer points last year. I spent the week covering the Senior Bowl for us at ESPN, and the Panthers coaching staff was there and made no secrets about its ambition to potentially find another quarterback this offseason. They sniffed around on Matthew Stafford. Deshaun Watson would be the prize for them this offseason. It'll cost probably at least 3 first-round picks, but Carolina's audacious enough to make this kind of move.
You know what I love about this Deshaun Watson trade discussion is you have to look at it from 3 angles. Who wants him? Well, obviously, every team wants him. It's not hard to see why Carolina would want him. What would Houston get out of it? Field just laid out the 8th overall pick could be a nice prize coupled with some other first-round picks. But then there's a third angle, which is what does Deshaun Watson want? Because of the no trade clause, we have to consider that as well, which we normally wouldn't when looking at potential trades. And that's where I think it gets a little tricky because Carolina, what you've got there is a young rising team with a relatively new head coach and Matt Rhule. You've got a hotshot offensive coordinator and Joe Brady. That's attractive. You've got good skill players. Love DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson. That's interesting. Offensive line, not so good. Defense, young, bottom 10 last year. All of that, I think, is more attractive than Houston. But is it more attractive than Miami? No. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm saying I'd rather go to the Dolphins. Now, again, that Dolphins offer might not be on the table. But from his perspective, I'm not sure Carolina is the most attractive destination. It really depends on what are the realistic alternatives.
Well, Mina, the player, because obviously to Nick Caserio, he doesn't have a stinking name. At least think you should be able to say Deshaun Watson's name. The player may not have that type of cachet, or he may not be able to wait on that deal. And I think you hit it on the head. At least it's not Houston. And Joe Brady and I, we got kind of cool. Well, we got pretty cool when he was working here at LSU, and we always joked about me coaching. I tell you what, I'd have a better opportunity to go coach if he got Deshaun Watson, because he'd be a head coach much sooner when you have a quarterback like that. And you think about what he would bring to this team, what he would be to any team that he could go to. If I was him, I'd want to go to Miami too. Miami was just a quarterback away from being an elite level football team, but you have young playmakers in Carolina. You have a defense that was young that can continue to improve, and you have a relatively new head coach only in his second year, Matt Rhule, who seems to understand winning and team building. And so if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm looking at my situation in Houston and saying, you know what, anywhere is better than this. And if the Carolina Panthers can put together enough draft capital to acquire him, I think that's a place he would love to be rather than Houston.
Yeah, you know, Field, the more we're talking about this, the more this is making sense to me. The other thing, too, about Carolina is they've committed to Matt Rhule. He's going to be their guy. They made that very clear. You know, you got to think that they're this team that is sort of like waiting in the wings a little bit, ready to pounce on something like this. The other piece of this is that Christian McCaffrey and Deshaun
Laura,
Watson. What?
Laura, I see what you did there. They're Panthers, and they're waiting to pounce on this. Girl, you
the
know you can
host. The only reason I said all of that.
Wait. The mascot is named Sir Pounce. Yes.
That is good. That is good.
It's Sir Purr. It's Sir Purr.
You're the best.
I'm sorry, Sir Purr.
Purring and pouncing, they're all things that Panthers do. And the fact is, Field, I was going to let you back in, but the only reason why we said all of that was just to get all of our cat metaphors in. So we're going to actually go to break now. Let's go back in time here and revisit our 2020 quarterback prospect grades from our scouting partners at Scouts, Inc. Jalen Hurts was considered the seventh best prospect at his position, labeled with a 70 out of a 100 grade at that rate. Prospects with a grade ranging from 70 to 80 are considered, quote, solid prospects, described as usually winning individual matchups but not dominating in every game. So for more on the Eagles and their plan at quarterback, let's bring in our NFL draft analyst, Matt Miller, again. And Matt, could the Eagles actually target a QB with their number 6 overall pick in April?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Nick Sirianni. A lot of times we see new coaches come in. Think about Cliff Kingsbury. You go to Arizona, hey, I want Kyler Murray. Forget Josh Rosen. We'll ship him to the Miami Dolphins. So we could see Nick Sirianni come in and say, I want my own guy. And last year, Howie Roseman did think highly enough of Jalen Hurts to draft him at pick number 53 overall. We saw a small sample size. Now, I'm actually a believer in Jalen Hurts. I think we saw this offense, which could not get going with Carson Wentz at quarterback. We saw an uptick last year in yards per play. We saw an uptick in just tempo, intensity, guys going out making plays for their quarterback. And as you see, he gives you an athletic element that Wentz had a little bit coming out of North Dakota State, but he stopped wanting to do it after he got hurt. So I'm a believer in Jalen Hurts, but at number 6 overall, what we have to think about is, could they draft a quarterback? Oddly enough, Trey Lance from North Dakota State, where Carson Wentz went, is most likely to be that QB4 in this class, and he could be sitting there right at 6 overall, giving them, again, a little bit more of an athlete. I think he is a little bit more, you know, like the Deshaun Watson type of quarterbacks, where he could beat you with his arm down the field, he could beat you with his legs, but we've only seen one season of starting as a redshirt sophomore. Their season got canceled this year because of COVID, so just 16 games starting in college. It's a small sample size, but he has been electric when he's been on the field.
Yeah, Trey Lance, a ton of possibility there, but maybe a bit of a project in a lot of ways. And as you know, Matt, you know, Jalen Hurts had interest. He was pretty high on a lot of teams' draft boards. The Eagles just ended up getting him. Thanks so much for your information. Field, you just heard Matt pitch us on the idea of the Eagles taking a QB in the first round. Who do you think starts week one for Philly?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Jalen Hurts for right now. And it sounds like Matt would lean the same way if he had to make a bet. I would say this. Jalen Hurts showed enough in 4 starts to suggest that he has a chance to be a long-term starting option for the Eagles going forward. At the same time, there were not a 52% completion percentage, which you have to look at the context of some of those throws and the pieces he was playing with and whether that's a red flag or something he can evolve from. I think he can evolve from that mark. And then moreover, Laura, he was a second round pick last year, which in some ways can be a great advantage for Philly because his contract's going to be a great discount if he remains their starter. It also makes him more replaceable. The Eagles just traded away Carson Wentz to incur the largest TED cap charge in NFL history, nearly $34 million. At some point, some of your decisions have to be financially responsible. And while if they love a quarterback at pick six, I can see it happening, I do think that Jalen Hurts has shown enough that you might be able to tap into the wide receiver class this year at pick six, which could go a long way towards rectifying your offense in a hurry.
Man, I mean, but you got to love a quarterback. I'm talking about five heartbeats, new edition, boys to men love that quarterback. I'm talking about down on bended knee love him to get him. And I just don't know, even if it's Trey Lance, if you will feel that way. Or even if Philadelphia will even go back to North Dakota State and get a quarterback. You know the saying, you know what George W. said, you know, fool me once, fool me twice, can't get fooled again. And so when you look at what this team is looking at, Jalen Hurts was a good starter through 2.5 games, a great starter. He was a good starter for the 4 games that he played, and I believe that's who he is. And so if you feel like he's earned the right to get an opportunity to be the starting quarterback this year, give him that chance, get an upgrade with the 6th pick, whether it's Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, if Ja'Marr Chase is still there, add a player to this team who can not only be good for Jalen Hurts, but be good if you have to move on to a new quarterback. But Jalen Hurts showed us enough in taking this offense from what would be the New York Jets averaging 4.7 yards a play when Carson Wentz was a quarterback to 5.73, which is closer to what the New Orleans Saints average when Jalen Hurts was the quarterback. You got to look at him compared to a peer, compared to somebody in the same position. The coach think Wentz is good enough to be their guy. Why can't Jalen Hurts be the Philadelphia Eagles guy?
I'm with Ryan. As far as the pick goes, they have to really, really like the quarterback who's available at number 6, because if he's not the guy to, again, quote Boyz II Men, it would be the end of the road for Howie Roseman, I think. Ooh. Especially after all those years of bragging about how they're the quarterback factory. Look, well, what I like about the Eagles after a rough season is they seem to know what they are, which is not a very good football team. I don't think anyone there harbors any delusions about their Super Bowl prospects in 2021, given the dead cap hit they just took. But what's nice about that dead cap hit is after next season, the cap starts to clear. Carson Wentz is off the books. So why not treat this as a year to give Jalen Hurts the opportunity to compete, which he earned last year? Spend that pick on a Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU, that sort of once-in-a-lifetime receiver.
There you go.
And focus on rebuilding the offensive and defensive lines, because you've got a lot of work to do on both sides of the football. You're not going to compete anyways next year. Mm-hmm. Do that work so that if Jalen doesn't work out, you have a team in place for when that quarterback does come along.
Ryan, I realize that we're living in hypotheticals here, but let's say they do draft Ja'Marr Chase with that number 6 pick. Is that enough to see a significant improvement with the pieces that are in place and Jalen Hurts being the quarterback? Is somebody like Chase or a weapon similar there that they could get at 6 going to make that much of a difference?
I think it does make a difference. When you look at what this team had last year, obviously some of the draft picks at wide receiver haven't worked out for the Philadelphia Eagles. They're playing with street free agents at many times. Having a go-to guy can truly help. And listen, Ja'Marr Chase was 19 years old when he had 20 touchdowns for the Louisiana State University Tigers. I wanted to say that. And guess who he beat? Guys like Trayvon Diggs, A.J. Terrell, C.J. Henderson. Guess what they were last year in the NFL? The number one corners on their team. And so if you can have that type of upgrade at that spot, I think that would be a huge move for the Philadelphia Eagles, especially when you passed on an LSU guy last year, and he ended up breaking rookie records at wide receiver.
Yeah, you know, it's Friday, so I just did that for Ryan Clark here so he could go into his weekend on a really nice – he's got an LSU jacket on, so we had to get it in. But listen, I actually love that pick if they were to get Ja'Marr Chase. In other Eagles news, DeSean Jackson officially released today. Of course, he put out a nice thank you to the Eagles, somebody that will go down as a great Eagle for sure. And we got time for one more thing before we go. And for this, we go to Field Yates. He's got an interesting tweet from yesterday. I'll let you take this, Field, and tell us all about it.
Yeah, now that Carson Wentz will be officially traded, Laura, just 19 days after Jared Goff, that means that zero of the 22 quarterbacks taken in the first round between 2009 and 2016 will be with his original team. And is there a lesson learned here that you shouldn't be taking first-round quarterbacks? I don't think that's it. I just think that it's a reminder that when we have quarterbacks go in the first round and we immediately call them 10-year franchise cornerstones, not usually the case.
Yeah. That is wild. Hey, also big news. Mina, you're going to repaint your background this week, and you're going to look a little different on Monday, right?
Oh, yes.
What's the color?
It's going to be dolphin blue. Get ready.
Wow. I'd ask how you picked that one out, but we don't have time because we got to go. We'll see you next week on NFL Live. Have a great weekend.